skimp the guy and says, "You're a fool. You're a fool, old man. You could have sold that white horse for like millions of pounds. Yet you were so stubborn and you're so foolish, you never did it. Ruin has come upon you because of your stubbornness, old man." The old man turned around and says this, "Whether it's for good, whether it's for bad, I did not ken. The only thing I know that the horse is not in the stable." The mloch, they laughed and they scorned at the old man because they thought he was just a crazy old man. They knew that that was a foolish man. As time passed, 12 days passed, the man was going down towards the stable and he saw his beautiful horse coming back towards him. And not only was it the horse, it brought 12 other wild horses with him. And he came right into the field and he shut the door. All the people laughed. "No way. You're right. You're truly blessed, old man. For now you have not only one horse, you have 12 horses. Oh, and you're really, really blessed. I think I don't know what. You're really, really blessed, old man." The man turns around and says this, "Whether I'm blessed or whether I'm nay, I didn't ken. All I ken is I didn't hear a white horse, and you have, and I've got 12 more." "Oh, you're a crazy old man." So the old man had a son, an only son, and the man's son decided to break the horses in so they could sell them. So the son was in back of the white horse, in back of the wild horses, but he fell off and he broke both his legs. The villagers came and says, "Catastrophe has come upon you, old man. For now your only son can't work for you any longer. And he was going to be your end source of income when he was old. But now you're facing ruin." The old man says, "Whether it's for ruin or nay, I didn't ken. Only thing I ken is my son has broke his legs." A few months passed and war broke out. And all the villagers' sons were conscripted into the war. And they came to him and says, "Old man, you're blessed. For all our sons will go to war and they might never come back. But you, old man, will have your own son for the rest of your life. You truly are blessed, old man." And the old man says, "You foolish people. You judge so much in a snippet of life. In a snippet, you determine whether it's good or whether it's bad. You fail to see the bigger picture in life. And judge not what you see in a moment, but God sees in eternity." And I'm just going to use that story this morning as we walk through Joseph's life. Walking about Joseph, Joseph was the youngest of a heap of brothers. His father, Jacob, tricked his way into tricked Esau with his birthright, and he's blessed. He flew through because Esau was going to kill him. He flew to a different country, and there he saw this beautiful woman called Rachel, and she was sitting, and how he loved her, and he went to marry her, but he married her. Yeah, he got tricked, and what you reap, you sow, and as he tricked Esau, he sowed a trick as well. And as he lifted the veil after the marriage morning, shock and horror, he didn't marry Rachel, he married the ugly sister. What a shock, Ken. So he worked the other 7 years for Rachel. Now, a bit of a war broke out between his two sisters, because each one of them wanted to be powerful. So Pierre Jacob, Leah was giving out babies left, right, and center. And Rachel was barren. So Rachel says, "This is ridiculous. My sister has given out other babies, and here I am stuck in barrenness. I can't have any babies. So I tell you, if I'm going to help God out, I'm going to give you my maid to be surrogate, and she's going to give birth to a baby for you, and I'll pretend it's mine, and I'll help you out." So he agrees to that. So she's a baby. Then Leah has another baby. Then she's another baby. And it's crazy. And their babies are popping out left, right, and center. If you read it, it's just like a fight between these two women about who could have the most kids. And but Rachel, in her old age, gives birth to a son. Now you got to remember that Jacob loved Rachel. He never really wanted to marry Leah. He was tricked into marrying Leah. But Rachel was the one that gave him the son that he really wanted. And oh, how he loved Joseph, because that was from the woman that he truly loved. Nor the maids, nor Leah, that was his chosen son. But he spoiled them, did he? He spoiled them. He gave them a robe that would only be worn by kings or by really important people of the country. And he gave them that robe. And Joseph spent a lot of time with his father as he was a kid, standing by his dad's side. And we realize as we read on that his dad must have brought him up in the wise, imparted everything he knew about God, about living for God in these early years. And Joseph would come back from the field and he'd tell his dad about all the stories the brothers were up till and how they'd been this and how they'd been that. And he used to tell tales on his brothers. And his brothers resented him because he told tales on him and tell him all that was up till. And what kind of story do we? His brothers resented him, and Joseph had dreams. Abdi had dreams, but Joseph had strange dreams. And his dreams, Abdi was bowing down before him, sun, moon, and stars, and brothers. I just like got them one stage further, and they decided to kill him. And as they sold him to slavery to Egypt, he was bought by Potiphar. Judge the story right there and then. And we say, this man has lost his family. This man has lost everything in life. He's now a slave, the lowest position in Egypt. But whether it's for good, whether it's for bad, he didn't again. But he knew this, that even despite where he was at, he was living for God. He's got to do the right thing. The things that had been instilled to him by his father when he was a child, he's got to continue doing. He was going to change. He was going to keep on, he was going to keep on going. He was going to keep on being who he was. He changed his name. He changed everything. But no, he was just going to be Joseph. Inside, I'm not changing. I've got a relationship with God. And God has got to see me through. And as Potiphar, as he grew older, Potiphar's woman, wife, fancied him and wanted to bed him. And he flew. And we knew that. He flew his situation. And he was thrown in prison. He's in jail now. And surely that's for bad. Surely being in prison is worse than being a slave. Surely life can get any worse if you're in jail. But Joseph was still just Joseph. Despite of it surrounded him, despite of the situations running about him, despite of who he was surrounded with, Joseph was just Joseph. And God blessed him because of that. And we've got to realize that we are Josephs to our situation. You might come out of here and you might go to secular work, you might go to different places, might go to school, might go everywhere. You are carriers of the blessing of God to wherever you go. You are carriers of the presence of God to wherever you go. You can bring a calm in the midst of storms. You can bring a clarity in the midst of difficult situations. If we only realize that wherever we go, we can bring the presence of God. I remember when God came to my workplace, when I was in Charlie Cruden's and I was in a motorist machine in the back, and I lifted my hands, and as I was, God was filling my body. And God came. I says, God, you can come everywhere, but please keep church and my workplace separate. But God wasn't like that. It's so easy to sit in the church services and sing, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, but nay in the workplace, nay between 9 and 5, nay because of this, nay because of that. But you realize that if we make him Lord, we make him Lord at all. When we cry out, we're making a covenant between us and God. It's so easy to sing the words. It's so easy just to get carried away in the worship and get carried away in the emotion. But is he really Lord of our lives all the time? And I ken there's a battle. I ken it's a battle sometimes to speak out. I ken it's a battle sometimes to reach out. I ken it's a battle to become holy all the time because sin creeps into our lives. But that's just life. But he saved you for a purpose, church. He saved me for a purpose, that I might become a light to my tenants, that I might become a light to Sunny Bray, that I might become a light to whoever I work for. I am a partaker. I have been saved for a purpose, and so have you. Let's not be afraid. Let's not shine away for the moment when we feel our heart bursting within us and we think, how can I share it against us? We need to just stop and take a step back and say, Lord, help me to meet this situation. Help me to speak this need. Help me to get too spiritual, but help me just to share a simple story, an illustration, like a white horse. Help me just to make a contact with that person. And Joseph just did it. He just started at the bottom again. And he just helped somebody in prison. He helped somebody else. He helped somebody else. And people start realizing that there's something different about this guy. It doesn't matter how much times he gets beaten up. It doesn't matter how much times we try and get him down, try to wear him down because God's left him, and God's in this, and God's in that. That guy just rises again. You see, the Bible says this, though a righteous man falls to the ground 7 times, yet he will arise. And you might be doing it times at work. You might be doing it times and people might be making ridicule or you're just a holy roller and that sort of stuff. But yet you will arise. You will arise. You will let a radiant light shine for you because you realize it's not about me, but it's about God. That the light it is within me is not about me and my best, but it's God shining out through me. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's not about just coming to church and getting great services. Our worship band has just gotten a new level every single week. But it's not if it's a book, guys. It's not just if it's our boot. It's not just about coming here and nice services. We've got like 80 people coming last Sunday. We don't enough communion cups. Let's build 100. Let's start believing the words that's been spoken at our church. Let's build 100 seats. Let's start believing. Let's start asking people along, saying, look, you're hungry. I ken you've lost your job. I ken your marriage is split up. I ken the situations, but I want you to come to church with me because I believe that God has got a purpose and a plan. And they don't feel worthy. But you've got to show them the love of God. You've got to keep on loving Him. Keep saying, look, I believe that God has brought you and me together for a purpose. I believe our paths are going to come and we're going to walk together for a while. And I'm sorry, I kind of going down the road with you and I kind of do this with you, I kind of do that. But I'm going to ask you to come along with me. Because I believe boldly, and you can share this boldly, I believe God's got a purpose for you. That's why I've come in contact with you. Because God wants you to come and wants me to show you something new in life that you've never experienced before. Taste and see if what I'm saying is good. Come along, meet people that support you, that will believe for you, that will pray for you. You don't have to care about your stuff, but we will believe. We're a family. So much people feel alone. My heart's broken for that guy of the day. My heart's broken for him. In a room, alone, no job, wife throwing him out, can't see his kids, no money. People need the Lord, folks. I'm the only Jesus that guy will ever see. God has brought me in my path for a purpose, that I might show him the love of God. How about you? I pray for him. I believe in him. I tell him that I'm there for him. But cost me. And now it's up to him whether he gets saved or not. It's up to him whether he accepts it or not. But my responsibility is I'm going to stand before God one day. And I'm going to have to give account to the people I come into contact with, the opportunities that I have missed, that I didn't become a Bible basher, bashing things through people's throats, with a false religion that I'm just Paul. That I just let the love of God come up in me and to put my hand around about somebody from the struggling and to help them. And that's what's our book, guys. Our church needs to be filled. Aye. But I don't want to be filled with people for other churches. We are called for a purpose. We are called for the broken. We are called for the weary. And we are called for them that needs a doctor. You are the only Jesus that they will ever see. And Joseph was the only Jesus that these people in the prison could ever see. And he rose. Nay, because he was pompous, nay, because he bullied his wife, but because they knew that the hand of God was upon him, and they saw something different, and they saw something that wasn't religion, but they saw love. They saw reality. So much places is filled with religion. Let's get reality. So as you come up the front and share a testimony about how great your life is, and so great, and some of you are really struggling, let's get true testimonies. I was really struggling. I was really broken. I was really weak this week. But came and he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. You see, when we sing songs like that, we sing this morning, it ties right in. And it gives you a boldness to share for God has sent us. This is not just a sermon, folks. I believe this is God speaking to us. This ties in. We've been singing, it is well with my soul. It is well. Have you shared about the doing times? Have you shared about the brokenness in your life with somebody? Have you shared about God's heart for somebody? I ken it's tough. I ken it's bad. But I believe I was once there. I was once in your situation, but God's came, he's mended me, he's put my feet in a solid rock, and now I have assurance that God is with me. I am no longer alone. Let's get the reality, like Joseph had. So was prison for bad, or was it for good? It doesn't really matter. What matters is who we are. And who Joseph was in the midst of that situation. And again, that the baker and the cupbearer had a dream. And this is when we see the maturity of Joseph. He interpreted dreams. And he says this to them. He says, when things go well for you, and when you remember me. 2 years later passed. God's timing is everything, you see. God's timing is everything. And one thing we need to learn is we need to begin how to be led by the Spirit. We need to ken the ways of the Lord. The Bible says that His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And we need to ken what we did get in a situation with all guns blazing. That when God reveals a word to you, when God reveals a prophetic word to you, when God reveals something, a word of knowledge about you, about something, didn't I just share it straight away? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And that's a lesson I learned. And it's so difficult, guys, when you get it wrong, but it's a lesson I learned a long time ago. So easy to start moving in prophetic, so easy to start doing this and start doing that. But let's learn the ways of the Lord. Let's learn to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to get the word, it's another thing to share it. It's one thing just to share a word off the top of your head, but being led by the Spirit and God's timing is perfect. Better to shoot one arrow and hit a target than shoot 1,000 and miss. And we've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. We've got to learn how to become mature in our walk with God. That when we start speaking to people, if we start ministering to people, as we start preaching to people, in a way that God wants to hear us preach, we're there and we're being led by the Spirit. It'd be so easy for me to go up to people and say, oh, you need Jesus, you need this, you need that. It's no use. God has got to lead us. God has got to guide us. Sometimes we need to pray, God, if you want me to speak to this person, let this room be empty. Give me an opportunity to get this person by themselves. I remember a long time ago in this church, God says to me, I said, look, Paul, I want you to prophesy over this woman. I want you to speak to this woman. And a woman left the church, taking a water car. I says, Lord, you've given me a woman in my mind, and I really feel so I should pray for her. If it's you, Lord, I just pray a woman will come back in through the door and speak to me. The woman came back and she says, Paul, have I lost my keys? I knew it was time, folks. I knew it was time to deliver the word. I knew it was not just a case of just receiving a word and boom, that's it. But being led by the Spirit is the most exciting adventure you can get, because the responsibility is not you. The responsibility is the Lord's. Lord, I pray you will lead me. I pray you will guide me. Lord, I pray you will give me the words in time. I pray, Lord, you will give me words in season. And you will not just give me lots of words, but you will give me something that hits a target that I might see that you are using me, Lord. And you are going to change that person. Giving words is easy, but doing it in right time, being led by the Spirit, is going to be so difficult, because it's so difficult waiting. It's so difficult saying, God, now's the time, now's the time. And God said, no, it's near. It's near the time. Wait for it, Paul. Wait for it, Paul. Now's the time. Now's the opportunity. I says to that woman, says, I really believe God's saying that you're a bird. And you're in this glass cage. And every time you flap your wings and try and get out of that cage, that you kind of feel like there's an invisible force running about you. And you feel so you're just in being imprisoned. She broke through. In tears in the corner of the church, and says, Paul, how do you know? I've never told anybody that in my life. I says, it's not me, it's the Lord. I says, Kim, it's going to happen in a wee while. God's going to take you. He's going to move you along the corridor a wee bit. He's going to open the door, and you've got to be free. You've got to be free. You see, it's one thing receiving, it's another thing giving. And this is why we are so important where we're at as a church, folks. We're in the brink of breakthrough. We've had the prophetic words, we've had that sort of stuff in the past, again. But God's got something new for us. God's got something new for you. Have you got comfortable in our Christianity? Have you got comfortable being in a jail? Have you got comfortable being just a slave to Potiphar? Have you been comfortable just enjoying church? God saved us for a purpose. And one day, in the midst of the prison cell, the doors came open, burst open. Joseph was taken out of the cell. He was washed. He was cleansed. He was made presentable. He was shaved. He got his shampooed in, everything like that. And everything done because he was getting presented to Pharaoh. He was remembered at the right time. Been so easy for him to say to the baker, to the cupbearer, now I've given you the word, you are all me, so you have to go straight to the Pharaoh and tell him how innocent I am. But he didn't say it. He says, Lord, lead this man, cause him to remember at the right time. Lord, I didn't care about the time. If it's 2 years, it's 2 years. If it's 3 years, it's 3 years. If it's five, whatever it is, but cause a man to remember. I'm putting the responsibility onto you. Let the Lord lead. We're just followers, huh? We're just followers of Christ. Let him lead us. Let him guide us. Let us live the adventure. And there he is. He becomes Prime Minister in one day. Prime Minister in one day. And you think, now, Joseph, you're Prime Minister of Egypt. That's the most exciting thing you could be. Surely this is a good thing. Surely this is it. This is your finale. This is what the Lord's got for you. But one day, 7 years of blessing had happened in Joseph's life. He was now a husband. He's now a father to two beautiful children. But one day, his past came and stared him right in the face. His brothers. The reality of the dreams he had when he was a kid was now facing him. And this was one of the darkest times, I believe, in Joseph's life. It wasn't in the prison cell, that's just my belief. It wasn't in the prison cell. It wasn't in Potiphar's house. But he was being sold by his family into slavery. And now his family was facing him, begging him. For 3 days he threw him in prison. Can you imagine the turmoil that Joseph had in that 3 days? Food of a day. You see, God again, the reality of the dream that they've got to come down, they've got to bow down before him. And Joseph went through one of the darkest times of his life, where he had really got to fight. What did I do? And you can see how he deals with his brothers in the next few chapters, and how the turmoil of his life is so difficult, because this is one obstacle. This is one massive obstacle that he needs to overcome. He's got the power now to just completely wipe out his brothers. Just be a flick of a switch. You can hear him, I executed. He's got the power. He's got the hurt. He's got the pain. It's came back to haunt him. And this is unleashes a big scenario in the life that must have cast. It seems to, as you read it, by the time they travel back and forth to his dad and that, for months, Joseph wrestled with this. And as Joseph wrestled, it seems to have come to one conclusion. But it was something that his brother said that broke Joseph. It was this. It says, if we go back to our father without your brother, then he came with his brother, Benjamin, he will surely die. And we will be guilty of killing the father. One thing Joseph needed in his life more than another was the embrace of the father. He wanted his father. His father that loved him. And can you imagine when he sent his brothers for the father, waiting, and then he sees them off at a distance. Here's his father. After all these years, he's still alive. He's not a white grey old man that he's sent to the grave, but he's got to be reunited with his father. He's got to be embraced in his father once again. He's got to be embraced by his father once again. There's got to be a reunion with his father. Oh, and that's the one thing that stopped all the hurt, all the pain, all this back and forth, trying to pay back his brothers in all these situations. Where's his father? How's your love with the father this morning? How's your love with the Lord this morning? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? So here we have Joseph. And there we have the white horse. And there we have today. See, it doesn't matter if it's for good or bad. If it counts, it's who you are. Who you are in the midst of life's ups and downs. Joseph never changed. He was Joseph. Whether we get good news this week, whether we get bad news, can something? God is with me. He's got a purpose. He's got a destiny. He's got a place in my life. That despite of it, I'm emotional sometimes. I can up and down. But I know that my God is with me. I know that my God never leaves me. He never leaves me in difficult situations, but he's always there with me. He's there with me at Sunny Bray, he's there in my workplace, he's there with me as I make decisions and different things. He's there with me. Is he there with you? Do you allow him to travel with you? Or do you leave him in church on Sunday? Oh, my friends, this morning, let us fall in love again. Let's fall in love again. Let's, if you're weary this morning, just lift your eyes to heaven. This week, just open your Bible, even though you don't feel like it, you don't feel you've got the strength to do it. Start reading your favorite stories in the Bible. Start reading about Joseph. Start reading about David. Start reading about all these guys. See how they made it through. As you come to the prayer meeting, just say, Lord, I need you to fill me. I need you to fill me. I used to sit in this area in the church. I used to stand in the presence of God in the church 17 years ago, 22 years ago, and just feel the presence of God come upon me. And it was for years and years that didn't happen. But three Tuesdays ago, He came upon me in such a way, folks. To be filled again, it just caused your heart to overflow. To feel the presence of God rising up within you. When last did you feel the presence of God, that living water rising within you? I pray that as I speak, you get a hunger and you get a thirst and you let go of the things that's holding you back, and you want to feel that well rising within you. You're like a Simeon, that you've got a word for God, that you've got a dream, that you've got a vision, and you're not going to die until you see that come true in your life, that something is going to burst in your life, and you're not going to let go because it's God. If something's going to rise, there's going to be excitement, there's going to be a passion rises within you, because God is there with you, through the highs and through the lows, and it doesn't matter if it's happening around about you, that you are you, and God is with you, and it doesn't matter if it happens, there is a word, there's a calling, there's a destiny, there's a hope, there's a transition between me and God, that nothing's got to stop me. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, it's so easy to sing about a barren woman singing, but it also says about the God causes the guy, what's he got again, a blacksmith. The end of Isaiah, it speaks about a blacksmith billowing up the coals, getting the weapons forged to fight against you. He says, but even though he forges the weapons against you, even though he gives it to the enemy, and the enemy has got to cut you down, that's not going to happen, because God is with you. That even though God is the God who made the blacksmith, and made the blacksmith able to make the weapons, that even that weapons will not be formed against you. They shall not prosper, declares the Lord. So it's easy to sing about the barren woman being filled with joy and like that and singing, but you realize that whenever we start stepping out, that we come under attack. But even though we come under attack, that attack is under the command of God. God, a storm is hitting the northeast of Scotland that's never been seen before in a long time. A storm and people losing their jobs and marriages breaking up and things like that. But God is in the midst of the storm, folks. God is in the midst of the storm, and we've got to realize, and we've got to understand, and we've got to see, and we've got to show the love of God. God is in the midst of the storm. God is in the midst of my storm. And hey, folks, we are the light. Keep on saying it. Sorry. We are the light. You are the light to your chums. Oh, guys, I haven't got an idea. I've got a passion, and I can't fit to say any more. I'm just going to sit down. But hey, guys, may the joy spread. May the hope spread. May the passion spread. Let us be like new saved kids once again. Mind when you were just new saved, and you're ready to tell Abdi and the whole world, and the whole world is going to be changing, and you've got to tell the whole world about Jesus. Yet we've become mature. We've become wise in the faith. We don't share so much, do we? Huh? But Joseph just went on, and he was just Joseph. So I'm just going to shut up now, because I'm going to get it all. But let the passion. I'm going to pray for people this morning. I don't want to pray for people. Let the Lord fill you. Cry out to Him. If you're weary and dry, lift your eyes to the sky, because let me tell you, it's beginning to rain. Didn't I put up your umbrella, folks? Didn't I put up a spiritual umbrella saying, Lord, it's all right for airy fairies out on the left-hand side, not for me or here. No. Experience it. Let me tell you, the river is good. It's a good place to be. I might get bad news this week. I might get good news. But God is with me. God is with you. God is with you, God is with you. What's his name? Across the Jordan at a certain time. Joshua, be strong and courageous, because God is with you. I've got to sit down, I'm sorry.